If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It questions who was actually making the decisions. So what we found is not just with the pardons he issued, but many of the executive orders that the courts are now using to Trump-proof, many of the executive orders that President Trump is trying to implement to make government more efficient, many of these executive orders, as well as the pardons of Biden's entire family as a result of our investigation, these were all signed with the auto pen. And clearly from that interview, which was many, many months prior to the heavy use of the auto pen, Joe Biden wasn't capable of making decisions. He wasn't coherent. We think we've identified who the staffers are. Jason, you all have done great work with that over at Heritage Oversight. We're going to bring everyone that we believe was involved in any role in the use of the auto pen. We're going to invite them to come in for a transcribed interview. If they want, then they will receive a subpoena and they will have a full-blown deposition. But we want to find out who was actually making the decisions in the White House during the last 9 months of the Biden administration when he was clearly in mental decline.
Yeah, I think that that's a big, you know what? And they brought it on themselves. I don't feel bad for Democrats with this because they brought this on themselves. They were, I mean, this is what happens when you're not transparent and then people don't want to trust you. And you can't get mad that people don't want to trust you because you're not transparent. You did this. Democrats did this entirely to themselves. And you can't blame people for saying, wow, I mean, did you get a load of Biden? He looks bad. Oh my gosh, did you hear the story about all the, it looks bad. You can't blame people for having questions about that and then wondering about, you know, was he in his right mind with all of this? Was he? Welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you. We're at the top of this first hour. And we also have to, I'm going to just rather gouge my eyes out with a 2x4. Talk about this big, beautiful bill. And it's a big issue. It's a very big issue. The big, beautiful bill that they're trying to get past. There's hangups on the SALT deductions, which we're going to dive into. There's hangups on everything. So POTUS had a number of meetings this morning. He was in the Capitol. On the Hill. And I want you to listen to some of what he said, because he met with Johnson separately. He met with different committee members. Listen to what he said here. This is just this morning.
I think we're a very unified party. The Senate's doing great. John Thune is doing fantastically. He's a great guy. And we're going to have a bill, the one big, beautiful bill. I think it's going to be, it's the biggest bill ever passed. And we got to get it done. Tremendous tax cuts for people, tremendous incentives, tremendous regulation cuts, all these regulations that are so horrible.
So I don't agree with him on everything here. And we're going to dive into that, like the tax cuts. And I mean, there's still taxes and Social Security that are included in this. The deductions, a shell game. You have the Green New Deal. All of that is included in there. We're going to give you some numbers. So that's what. So just so you understand, this is what he's been doing all morning. And they're really trying to get a number of these lawmakers to give up these SALT deductions. And that's basically, can you remember the whole argument about red states? They were coming up with the narrative about red states being welfare states, yeah, because blue states fund them. Right. Do you remember that whole thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that clearly. Well, guess what? It's not true, in fact. It's the kind of the other way around, and we're going to discuss that. By the way, when he said Lorraine literally just typed what I thought, that's creepy. She's in my head. She typed what I thought. I was like, biggest bill doesn't mean a great. It's not necessarily great because it's big. Just because it's a big bill doesn't mean it's a great thing.
But it's beautiful.
I know it's not. It's a buck tooth hag. It's
big,
not
and beautiful,
huh?
It's big and beautiful.
It's not big and beautiful. It's not a soap opera. You know, it's not a soap opera. We're not doing that. We're not doing it. So again, all of this. We've got the latest with Comey because he went on MSNBC last night trying to defend himself. So big day, and we'll have all of it. All right, so first and foremost, can we talk about the bill? Gosh, I really don't want to. You guys are done with all the politicking, right? You are. So let me just, where to start? So this big, beautiful bill, as you know, is not. It adds a lot of debt, a lot. In fact, I mean, it's not. It's not a great deal. We've got all the green new scam stuff in there. In fact, $700 billion of the, it's roughly about $700 to $900 billion of the green new scam. It's all still included in the original. That's all from the inflation. I hate saying this because it's not Inflation Reduction Act. So the 1.2 that is in the Inflation Reduction Act, of that, about $700 to $900 billion is still included in the in the big beautiful bill. That's a bad thing. It's not a good thing to have. So that's in there. And I know that they're trying to get this passed. And there's pressure from the administration to get this passed. I think Trump needed to ask for more. I'm sorry, but this is not what we voted for. We didn't vote for taxes on Social Security. We didn't vote for taxes on retired military pay. We didn't vote to keep funding the Green New Scam. We didn't vote to keep funding that. Are you a traitor, Rhino, if you don't want taxes on your Social Security? Because that's what the paid influencers are saying. And they're paid. That's a fact. That's what paid influencers are saying. Do you think, if you're a politician and your voters demanded that you do not tax their Social Security, and it is a tax. Again, the people telling you that it's not are lying to you. And I don't care the letter after their name. I don't get kickbacks from this, so I can be honest. See, I don't have special interests slipping money in my pocket like some of these rat bastards do in D.C., so I can be straight with you on this. It's a shell game. Did you vote for that? Did you vote to continue funding Joe Biden's Green New Scam? Because the things that I'm saying are unarguable facts. They are 100,000% in this bill, the latest draft that they're now trying to push to get codified. It's all in here. $700 to $900 billion of the original 1.2. They think that's a great cost savings. Mike Johnson thinks that, oh my gosh, look at all the money I'm saving you. Instead of paying, you know, $1.2 trillion for Joe Biden's Green New Scam, you're only going to be paying $900 billion. Wow, what savings. You got the Green New Scam at a discount. Amazing. But it's still in there. So if you're a politician and your people are telling you that they don't want this stuff and you vote accordingly, should you be primaried? It's a serious question. If your voters tell you, please, for the love of all things holy, do not tax our Social Security. If you've got veterans telling you, please do not tax our retired military pay. If you have voters saying, please do not spend our hard-earned taxpayer dollars on Green News Scam. We just found out all the stuff we were on the hook for with USAID. Please no more. And if your lawmaker, if you're telling that to your lawmaker and your lawmaker votes the way that you demand, should he be primaried? Because that's the threat that's coming down on the Republicans that are refusing to vote for this. Now, the argument is, oh, well, what other plans do they have? Oh, they had an epic butt ton of plans. Shall I spend the next 3 hours in the weeds boring you to death with all of the addendums, all of the proposed amendments, all of the proposed everything, the line, all of it? Should I? Because I can. There was a lot of actually really good stuff that was kicked around in committee that never made it in the final bill. I was loving some of the stuff that I was reading. Holy cow, like actually not only making the 2017 tax cuts permanent, but lowering them further. That was rejected. Why? Why in the hell was that rejected? I'm going to tell you what. Guns, money, and life are all I care about. I don't care what else these Congress people do. I don't care if they buy and sell endangered dolphins on the black market. I don't care. You leave my guns, money, and life alone, and I'm cool with you. I don't care what the hell you do. I really don't care. You leave my nut and my ammo alone, I'm good. I'm golden, pony boy. But the moment that you start messing around with that stuff, Katie, bar the door. I want your scalp. So that's just how I'm looking at it. So no, we're not doing this. This is exactly, all this stuff is in there. And they're talking about primarying some of these cats. You got Mike Lawler. And look, no ill will towards Mike Lawler. All's fair on the playground, right? I mean, I get it. He's, you know, he comes from a kind of purpley district, right? This cat wants Planned Parenthood funding in there. And it's still in there. Are we funding Planned Parenthood, guys? Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Are we? Because it's all in there. I just got a lot of questions. Why are we funding any of this? Don't call it a big, beautiful bill. It's a big, giant bastard. That's what it is. It's not a big, beautiful bill. Good night. You are being scammed right now. And you've got, like, Mike Lawler, who wants all this stuff in. The salt tax. He's like, oh, no, he likes the salt. He wants to keep his bailouts. We're going to talk about salt and exactly what that means and how red staters are on the hook for it. Because this is nonsense. Red states should not be paying a federal offset for these blue states because these people are dumb enough. I'm sorry. If I get it. You got jobs and family there? Leave. I don't care. Leave. I lived in downtown St. Louis. I left. Leave. You deserve better. Hell, I would take you in Texas. Come on. Unless you vote Democrat. And then Texas is above the Red River. Wink, wink. It's Oklahoma, but well, it's okay. But these blue states, they got high taxes, super high taxes. And these people think that we, everybody else in red states, should pay the offset on that. We're going to talk about that in depth. So I don't know. One of the things is that there was a blue state, or there was a salt deal that was proposed last night in a meeting by Mike Johnson. And Trump said that these blue state Republicans should be taking that deal. And he said that they should get mad at their governors for having bad tax policy. Well, that's not wrong. They should be mad at their governors. They should be mad at their state lawmakers for having bad tax policy. They want to cap salt deduction at $40,000. I don't think you should have a deduction. I want you to feel the pain the way the rest of us do. If you're going to live in New York where they're going to tax and spend you to death, why in the hell should red staters bail out your grifting welfare backsides? Why? Oh, I will go to war over this. This is asinine. We are overtaxed and overburdened. We have taxation without representation. We literally went to war for less than this. You see these memes where you have like these two wolves. They're looking at a campfire. These people are on a campfire. It's like early days of mankind. And they're like, looks like they got some good food over there at that fire. Should we go over there and see what they have? And the other wolf's like, yeah, what's the worst that could happen, right? And then fast forward. And you have all these deformed dogs like Frenchies and all that. And I broke my back because I jumped up on the couch. It's very similar to where we are with patriotism and original intent, right? Like back in the day, we went to war because they were going after RT and we had the Stamp Act and all this. And it looks like a pittance compared to what we have now. George Washington is looking at us from above, disappointed. Our partners over at Super Beats, Super Barine. If you haven't tried the product, you should. It supports healthy metabolism and healthy blood sugar. And it'll change the way you think about metabolism. It's plant-based, doctor-formulated. It has a unique form of berberine and Italian olive fruit extract for additional antioxidant and cardiovascular support. And it's clinically studied to deliver nearly 10 times higher absorption than standard berberine. You get all the benefits in one highly concentrated, easy-to-swallow capsule that you take a day. And it has grapeseed extract for greater tolerability. Visit Sam's Club to restock your heart health support with Super Beats Heart Chews and expand your routine with the new Super Berberine for healthy metabolism and blood sugar support. Start today and get on the road to better cardiovascular health support.
Turns out in Congress, we have a uniparty. Another week goes by and no votes on Doge cuts. Nothing on getting rid of waste, fraud, and abuse. Everything you see on TV by some of these lawmakers is just a reality show.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Hamas releases its last American hostage just hours before Trump's trip to the Middle East. Lefties in the media now insist they didn't hide Joe Biden's decline, it was their sources who lied. And Homeland Security is investigating whether Los Angeles County gave our Social Security benefits to illegals. I'm Greg Corumbus, inviting you to join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is kind of sad. If you guys need some chickens, a shipment of thousands of chicks were found abandoned in a USPS truck. There you go. Now overwhelming an animal shelter in Delaware. They're trying to rehome thousands of chicks that survived being left in a postal service truck for 3 days. They had no food or water. Thousands died. Thousands of them died before they were even discovered. They're trying to figure out how 12,000 chicks were abandoned in this Delaware mail distribution. It's the United States Postal Service. That's why. You want to know why? Because it's the USPS. God love your drivers, but that damn agency runs like a double snakes. Do you know if I send a letter, even unless I send it certified overnight, if I send a letter from Texas, it takes over a month to get there to get to my hometown in St. Louis. That is not even an exaggeration. Happy to show you the stamp. Hands to sky. More packages are lost through USPS. I do not send anything through it because I can't guarantee it, even if I buy insurance for it. That's how bad it is. So I am completely not surprised that you had thousands of these chicks that were left to die in this damn distribution center. They said, oh, they were aware of a process breakdown. They're probably going to need more taxpayer dollars, I'm sure. Remember, they kept saying they needed more tax money. Overbloated government entity that can't run right and you want more money? Isn't that how that works in your job? If you perform badly, you get a raise? Hell no. So they said that Freedom Ranger Hatchery in Pennsylvania, they raised the chicks for their weekly distribution to clients around the country. And they said the hatchery can't take the chicks back because of biosecurity concerns. So they're trying to find, they're at the animal, the First State Animal Center, SPCA. They're trying to find people to pick them up. But that's just cruel. I hope they find the people responsible and drag them. Drag. Also, let's see here. Fears of a new super cartel as Mexico's most violent gangs make a terrifying alliance. This was only a matter of time. You knew this was going to happen. They have the Jalisco, the Sinaloa cartels that are... I guess it's like cartel unionizing in a way, but they said that and the three others are forming an alliance that could prove deadly. They're having a major problem. I mean, let's not forget the mayoral candidate that was shot and killed on a live stream just a couple of weeks ago. The Trump administration reached a $5 million settlement with Ashley Babbitt's family per Newsweek. They agreed to pay the family of Babbitt to settle the lawsuit brought by her family. The AP said that they'd talked to DOJ to get a comment, but you guys remember the story of Ashley Babbitt. Well, now they've settled for that. I mean, that's insane. It was the first cop shooting that the left loved. Oh, they celebrated that guy. That guy was a moron, too. He had no idea what was behind his target, which is the first rule of firearms. Stick with us. A lot more in store. With All Family Pharmacy, they have you covered. No matter what it is that you need, maybe it's your everyday medications. Maybe it's the stuff that the government tried to keep from you, the ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Maybe you want to just make sure that you have some, you know, emergency kits, some antibiotics in case that you may need them in a pinch. And this is where All Family Pharmacy comes in. If you haven't gone to their website and looked at everything that they have hundreds of medications. It's simple, fast, and affordable. No insurance, no problem. They have straightforward pricing, online ordering, shipping in just 2 to 4 days. You can get it overnight in a pinch. Your health is always within reach, and they make it super easy. There are no gatekeepers. You can use code DANA10 to get 10% off of your entire order as well. And everything is made in the USA. All inputs, everything. So you got high standards of quality and safety. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/DANA for 10% off. Use promo code DANA. Protect yourself and your family today at allfamilypharmacy.com/DANA. Coupon code DANA10.
If you like true crime, you'll love the Miracle Files podcast.
We share real stories with the suspense of true crime, but we'll leave you with a sense of light and hope.
Like the college wrestler who fought a grizzly, the woman who was dead for nearly an hour, or the child lost in a dark mine for days. These are the kind of stories that remind us miracles are real.
Subscribe to The Miracle Files wherever you get your podcasts and join us on this thrilling journey of faith and miracles.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Say it.
What do you think until the fiscal hawks?
I'm a fiscal hawk. I'm a bigger fiscal hawk. There's nobody like me as
Thomas
a fiscal hawk.
Thomas Massey said that has more deficit than Biden did, and this bill kind of...
Because we have to fix the country.
Do you think that Thomas Massey is correct in saying that this is adding Biden?
No, I don't think Thomas Massey understands government. I think he's a grandstander, frankly. He'll probably vote. We don't even talk to him much. I think he should be voted out of office. And I just don't think he understands government. If you ask him a couple of questions, he never gives you an answer. He just says, I'm a no. He thinks he's going to get publicity. And you have that. You have that. They've got some, too. Go
okay,
ahead.
First off, God love Trump, but that's ironic right there.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, you're a grandstander. That's, I mean, and we like it, but let's not, you know, let's not mess around. You're a grandstander. So I find that a little rich. I find that a little to be a little much. But additionally, the, you know, saying that he's doing it for publicity is, I think that that's, you know, that's a dumb take. It's a dumb take. It is. That's not correct. He's not doing it for publicity. He's doing it because, you know, he promised voters that this is something that he voters wanted this done, and he is fulfilling the voters' wishes and trying to cut spending, which was what we promised. I mean, you know, if you're going to be pissed at him for trying to keep you honest, that's on you, not him. That's just the real truth of it. And by the way, for the people that want to weep and gnash teeth, if you think that in order to be a patriot, you have to be in lockstep with government, that's the antithesis of being a patriot. Being a patriot doesn't mean you kiss the ass of your government overlords and you try to be besties with your government. That's not what it's about. We are supposed to have an antagonistic relationship with them. That keeps it healthy. We're not supposed to be BFFs. You know, we're not supposed to be like, right, you know, it's not a ride or die type of situation. A lot of people are getting it twisted. I want what is best for us, the voting taxpayer. Bottom line, anybody that gets in the way of that or gets sideways of that, I got an issue with. And you should, too. This is why you go out and vote. It's what motivates you to do this. Look, I don't agree with Massey on everything, but I'm going to tell you what. There's no bigger fiscal hawk in the House than Thomas Massey. And for the people who argue otherwise, no offense, but you don't know squat. You clearly don't pay attention to his voting record. You don't pay attention to his work on the committees. You don't pay attention to any of the history of his votes. He has been a consistent conservative fiscal hawk. That is indisputable. More so than Mike Lee, more so than Ted Cruz, pretty much more so than anybody, even Chip Roy, who's going to be on later, anybody in the House. And I like Chip Roy, too. And he doesn't seek publicity. No offense, the guy's a nerd. He has a farm in Kentucky, and he makes his farm equipment. It's the craziest thing. He went to MIT. He's an engineer, but he also knows that he was sent there for a purpose. What's the point of going there if he's not going there to serve voters? So what Trump said is not helpful. We don't need stuff like that. If Thomas Massey is your enemy, you got an issue. And if you're going to sit here and criticize Thomas Massey more than Mike Lawler, the guy who literally wouldn't vote for the bill because it was going to cut Planned Parenthood funding, the guy who's begging for salt cap, come on, or for more, an increase in the cap, come on. The priorities are twisted. And I do think this, so I got to say this too, with some of these lawmakers, I get why they think that, you know, they're right in holding out for this salt tax. Now, if you are unfamiliar with what the salt tax is, it's like a deduction that allows you to write off a portion of your, like, state and your local taxes, right? That's what you can deduct that from your paycheck. You know, all this is what you can deduct. You can deduct it from your paycheck if you're W-2. You're at your what you estimate you're going to pay in taxes if you're self-employed, and they have a limit on it. And it's really, really, it's something that blue states absolutely love. It's the only tax cut, I think, that, or like a cap to reduce taxes that they like, that the left likes. Because they live in these high tax states, right? Think like New York. Think about New York's taxes. My gosh. Illinois' taxes. Oh my gosh. California's. I mean, they love them, some of the salt tax. They like it. Washington, D.C. Let me give you the list of the, just to illustrate my point. You have the top five states for the salt deduction are the highest taxed areas in terms of state and local. Washington, D.C., Maryland, California. The bottom, Wyoming, Ohio, North Dakota. Right? So you have New York, California, you got Oregon, you got Washington, a lot of the New Hampshire, a lot of these blue states, they have the highest deductions. In fact, I think this is the latest data from 2022 that they have, and the deductions that they have on this. And again, it is, we're actually subsidizing them. Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, they have the highest, the largest salt deductions, and they capped it at 10. The bottom five, again, as you know, Wyoming, Tennessee, Nevada. But these are blue states that they're basically, you're subsidizing them because they have higher tax rates in their state due to state and local taxes than you do in your red state. And so we're subsidizing them, essentially. I mean, not essentially, we are. We're subsidizing them. And I think that's the point you were making. Mm-hmm. So Mike Lawler, he's a guy that he's been pushing for that. He wants to protect his welfare. Instead of raising, you know, instead of lowering taxes for everybody, they wanted everybody's taxes to be high, but then you get to offset, you have to offset their higher taxes in their blue states. Kane's mad. You're mad over there. I can tell when you're mad because you constantly with your hands and you're shaking your head. What? Go ahead. Go off.
I mean, it's exactly how you described it. I mean, this is essentially, these states are saying we want to continue with our high taxes. So in order for us to continue with our high taxes and then be, of course, voted back into office later, we need these high salt deductions so that essentially these people feel like there's some sort of relief from us when in fact we're fleecing
them. It's like you're funding the aristocracy. Yeah. These are deductions that only benefit super progressives in blue states, right? It is they get these carve outs. It also increases the deficit, and it also goes against his tax policy from his first term. I mean, that's the reality of it. And originally, he was for it originally, and then he ended up being against it later on. And I think that that's where some of these Republicans feel like Mike Lawler and others, they feel like they're justified in this position because Trump originally was for it. He had told Real Clear Politics just the first week of this month that salt benefits for blue states were needed, quote, because those states are very badly behind. And now he says raising the cap only benefits Democrat governors, and we don't want to benefit Democrat governors, was his direct quote to Politico on camera. So he went in the span of under a month, he has supported it. And so now you can see why some of these, like Lawler and others, are so entrenched on them, because they had the green light. First week of May, it was all cool. Now it's not. And so now Lawler and Trump are fighting over this. Guys, this is a mess. First off, no, we're not subsidizing it. Have your damn governors lower their, and state legislatures lower your taxes. Because I pay what I pay in tax. By God, I'm not paying for your grifting ass in New York. And nor is anybody else that's working hard. You got these people, blue collar workers, working their backsides off. And then what? They're supposed to subsidize these blue state welfare queens? Are you kidding me? Hell no. So absolutely. And you want to? Why is it that Mike Lawler is praised and Thomas Massie, he said he's being told that he should be primaried? Why? Is that not some BS? Sorry, but that's wrong. It's wrong. I don't get it. This is not the way to handle this. And I always keep hearing, this is the stupid argument. I had a friend that was telling me this morning. Well, you know, we really have two options. Do nothing and all of our taxes go up, or we can pass this flaw. And it's deeply flawed, but it seems, you know, less problematic.
It's familiar.
How long have you heard that? You are hit with that emotional blackmail every damn time. Well, all of our taxes are going to go up. And if we pass this bill, it just seems less worse. No, all of our taxes keep going up and we're in this position because this is the argument that we're presented with every single time. Every time. It's a false choice. No, we're not going to do anything. You're going to go back and you're going to give a bill that we voted for, or we're going to make your life hell. I actually enjoy, you know, politically speaking, making lawmakers' lives hell. This was part of the Tea Party that I loved. Oh my gosh. I felt like Bane. I have a particular set of skills. I feel like we're going to need to go back. We are right now, I need you to understand, we are at the place right now where the pre-Tea Party Republicans are about to make a big comeback. That's where we're at. Everything that's happened in the past, we've never been able to implement fully conservatism fiscally or really anywhere else because everybody's too damn afraid of the austerity it would require. They don't want to turn off the government spigot. They like bringing home the bacon and being feted by their districts. So this is a problem. It is a major problem. We shouldn't be subsidizing these blue states. We shouldn't be subsidizing the Green New Scam. 700 out of to 900 out of the 1.2 trillion of Joe Biden's Green New Deal is still in there. And then we got this fight over the SALT deductions. They want to cap it at 40,000 with an income cap at 751,000 for 4 years. And then it would snap back to 40,000 with an income cap of 400. Why not just get rid of all this? And this is so stupid. It is so dumb. But you have, you know, these blue state taxes that are killing people. And instead of reducing their taxes, they think you should be able to make up the offset that they get to deduct, but you don't. And that's a real problem, a major problem. And then we have, of course, the media going after Medicaid cuts. There's a piece over at NBC where they're saying, oh, a liberal group is launching an ad campaign slamming Medicaid cuts. Now, reminder, they're not cutting anything but waste, fraud, and abuse. Do you think that someone who is here illegally, who's never paid into the system, should be getting Medicaid? I mean, if you cut that, NBC says that you're just cutting Medicaid. There's no nuance to these people. We're going to talk about this coming up. Gold Co. is making it easy to take that first step toward protecting your savings. Just fill out a quick form, no commitment, just free information. And then they'll ship you your free 2025 gold and silver kit straight to your door. No shipping fees, no strings, just a free info kit to help you understand how gold and silver can fit into your financial plan. I'm a big believer in doing your research, and this kit is a great place to start. So I'm really excited to be partnering with Gold Co. because not only do they support my show, which I truly appreciate, but they've made the whole process of buying precious metals super straightforward. Because if you're a fan of the show, Gold Co. is also going to tell you how to qualify for unlimited free bonus silver on eligible orders. If you qualify, you can even get a free half-ounce silver Ronald Reagan coin, totally free. Don't wait. Take that first step towards protecting and diversifying your savings with Gold Co. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
But then could we not also say if ostensibly there hasn't been a fair primary for the Democrats since 2008, are they not also a threat to democracy? Yes. We often hear...
Fair enough. That is... I'm not going to argue with that point. And that's why I'm proudly an independent.
He's not an independent. He caucuses with Democrats. Come on, he votes with Democrats. He can sit here and act like he's a Democrat all he wants, or independent all he wants to. But the reality is he's absolutely a Democrat. That's who Democrats are, though. They're so far left that it's that. I mean, they're just so far left. That's where they are. They're socialists. They're commies. I mean, I don't look at the policies that they're pushing. Look how mad they are of these SALT deductions and the Medicaid and the ads that are coming up that are slamming Medicaid cuts in the bill. So they have this ad where they have a single mother who says she relies on Medicare for her special needs son. And she said Republicans want to take away our health care so billionaires can get another tax break. That doesn't even make sense. That literally does not make sense. So Republicans want to take away your health care for billionaires to get a tax break? How does that work? How do billionaires get a tax break if waste, fraud, and abuse is cut from Medicare? How does that work? That's not how that works at all. I really need the mother in this ad and the people who made it to understand how taxes work. That would be great. They're running it all around in certain states, so not every state is going to see this ad, but they launched it this week. And this is all going after the quote-unquote big, beautiful bill, which is a big, giant turd sandwich. But it is. But how does this give billionaires, or sorry, not Medicare, Medicaid, correction. I don't know why I said Medicare. But if you cut Medicaid, waste, fraud, and abuse, how does that give billionaires a tax break? I'm so tired of this line by people who don't know how to do government, or they don't understand fiscal policy or civics or anything else. You're not giving billionaires a tax break by making sure that there isn't fraud and abuse in Medicaid. I don't even think we should have government services like this in the first place, because I think that we should have no income tax and we should deregulate. And if we had like the system the way it was envisioned by the founders under the enumerated powers of Article 1, Section 8, we wouldn't need to have it, because you would be able to subsist on your own. You could have a family that operates on one income instead of having both parents go out and work. But see, Democrats don't want to address all that. If you support those things, somehow you're cruel. You're cruel to expect people to work for a living. You're cruel to expect people to do something in exchange for a monetary value. Oh my gosh, it's so evil. We're going to talk more about this because we got our eyes on it. We got the fight over the SALT cap, the SALT deduction. And whether or not, I mean, we're going to get taxed regardless. We're not cutting spending. There's no Doge cuts. None of that's in here. So it's a giant, stupid bill that it's being sold to you like it's some great thing, and it's not. It's not. It's not anything remotely like the thing he passed in 2017 with the tax cuts. It's not. This is just a joke. It's a joke, and I'm not going to pretend that it is. It's anything else for clicks. So let the thirst whores go out there and do that. We have a lot more on the way as we roll towards our second hour. We got Chip Roy, we got Ted Nugent, a lot of people coming up. Stick with us. Summer is all about making great memories. Backyard barbecues, road trips, lake days, even just relaxing in a hammock with a good book. Spending time with friends and family, catching sunset views. But if you're living with pain, those future memories can be stolen from you. It's kind of hard to enjoy the simple moments when you're in pain. So here's a thought. Try Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement designed to help your body fight pain. It's a doctor-developed formula made with natural ingredients. And unlike pain meds that just mask it, Relief Factor works to reduce, even eliminate your pain for good. So whether you're spending time at the lake or chasing your kids or grandkids or just enjoying a summer stroll, Relief Factor can help you feel better, move better, and do more of what you love. Reclaim your summer. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF to get the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
Are you worried about the blowback from Trump allies, from the MAGA base, for voting no?
No, actually, I've got a lot of people in the MAGA base who realize that we could have done this differently. We could extend the tax cuts and paid for them, but instead we're not. I mean, over here, the people in favor of this bill say that under the policies of this bill, we're going to add $20 trillion to debt over the next 10 years, which is $3.5 to $5 trillion more than would have been added over the last.
So this is the reality of this situation. First off, that's Thomas Massie. That was just a little bit earlier. And he was asked about the tax cuts in this big, beautiful bill. And we're focusing on this right now because the progress of this is supposed, they said that I think they're trying to have it done by or before Memorial Day. I think by Memorial Day, right? I think Congress, you know that they're going to try to beat each other over the head and get this done because they want an extended weekend. They want to be out this weekend. They don't want to be there. They don't want to be there. So this intensity is going to last the week. And so we're focusing on it right now because they're right now wheeling, dealing, trying to cut deals, trying to whip votes and do all this stuff. And POTUS was on the Hill earlier today. And he is, you know, he's wants to get this bill passed, but this bill is incredibly problematic. And I'm warning you, I don't think it gives short-term relief even. I disagree with that. His tax cuts in 2017 were great. That was a great piece of legislation, and he did the right thing. That was an example of him managing it well. He went in and he strong-armed those moderates that did not want to pass it and was able to provide relief with real, actual tax cuts. They weren't made permanent, though. And so if that, all of our taxes are going to go up, but here's the problem. You can either have, your taxes are going to go up right now. This is how I'm looking at it. Just bear with me. Your taxes are probably going to go up regardless, and here's why. Because this right here, we don't have permanency. We still have taxes on Social Security, taxes on retired military pay. We're adding over $3 trillion to the deficit that we're funding. About, what would you say, 80%, 85% of the Green New Scam?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if it, we, what was the figure? Let me pull up my notes. Forgive me here. I think it was, what, 1.2 trillion, the Green New Scam. And so we're funding about anywhere from 700 to 900 billion of it. So that's all in there still. That is all absolutely in there. And the other, I mean, it's that, which is also incredibly problematic. But you also have, goodness, I think the Planned Parenthood stuff is still in there. This is a mess. There's a lot of things that are wrong with this bill. And the problem is by passing it, Republicans are going to be able to have an excuse to not revisit any serious cuts in spending or tax cuts, because they're going to operate on the narrative that they already did this. So you're not going to get it. You're not going to get any real kind of cuts, any real kind of savings later. What, like in September when they kick the can down the road and they have to come back? You're not going to get any of that. That's not going to happen. So that's all gone. And honestly, I don't even like the salt stuff. I mean, this is the whole thing is rigged. I think the salt deduction is unconstitutional. I think it's criminal to make red states subsidize the deductions from blue states just because they can't hold their legislatures accountable and have lower taxes. That's a con job. And I am livid. Remember the narrative that we all heard from Democrats. When was that, by the way? That was during the end of Trump's first presidency, his first term, when it was another budget battle. And I remember everyone was saying, no, blue states subsidize red states. And here's how. That was a lie, because it's actually in reverse. We subsidize them because of the salt deductions that they take, that they get because they live in dumb high tax states. That's the truth of it. So it's a rigged system. So instead of having like a responsible system, or, you know, just completely abolish the IRS and stop surveilling people over income, they do this. So it's all rigged and it's all unconstitutional. So it is, my point is that this is going to be a major problem regardless because of the deficit, the additional debt we're going to incur with this. That's going to have to come from somewhere. You either can start austerity now or you can fall off a cliff later. Those are your options. So whenever people tell you, oh, well, your options are you have to pass it, your taxes are going to go up. No, you either start practicing austerity now or you lose your ass coming up. That's a guarantee. That is, you can take it to the bank. You can bet the house on it, whatever. That is promised. It's a real thing. And this is this Rube Goldberg thing that they're doing. With this, trying to structure it like this is just goofy. It's goofy. It's got to stop. So that's the fight that we're having with this big budget bill. And again, not a fan of it. We're going to talk more about it as well. We've got Chip Roy is going to be joining us coming up to talk about some of this. We also are going to talk to Ted Nugent's going to join us a little bit as well. But this is a huge issue because, again, they're trying to get it done by Memorial Day. They want it done by Memorial Day so that that was the plan originally. And we'll see if they make it happen. Now, I want to switch for a minute, talk about a couple of other things. James Comey was on MSNBC after we were on air yesterday. And he was trying to explain that he just didn't realize that, you know, he was walking on the beach with his wife. And his story is they just happened to look down and see it. Do you believe that, Kane?
No.
I'm sorry, did I say no? I meant hell no.
They acted like that they just happened to see it. And he just didn't know. Audio soundbite, which one should I do, 19 or 21st? I think.
Which is least believable?
Let's do 19. Yeah, listen, this was him on MSNBC right after we finished our show yesterday.
You were back in the middle of a political firestorm.
Yeah, for walking on the beach with my wife. So
okay, can I? Okay, I'm sorry, Juan. You're gonna hate me right now. I'm sorry. Juan was already ready. Okay, first off, okay. It wasn't because he was walking on the beach with his wife. How dare you, James Comey? You're not allowed to walk on the beach with your wife. That is disallowed. Thou shalt not. It wasn't because of that. It was because he formed shells in the fray in the 8647 and then put it on Instagram like a thirsty little influencer. That's why. Get it right. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Juan's going to hate me so bad because he has these awesome transitions and I'm going to let it play this time. Okay, promise.
You were back in the middle of a political firestorm.
Yeah, for walking on the beach with my wife. So I don't know how we ended up here. Never occurred to me that it was any kind of controversial thing, but that's the time we live in.
So controversial. I mean, I never knew that this is how we ended up here. I never knew it. That was only 13 seconds long and I couldn't even get through it. How sad is that? I mean, I just can't believe I was walking on the beach with my wife. And I guess we're here. So, audio soundbite 20, they asked him a little bit more about it. Listen to what he says here.
But just again and again and again, I really thought that I was done. I was in another life. I was a grandfather and an author wearing, you know, sweaters and jeans. And then I went for a walk on the beach and posted a silly picture of shells that I thought was a clever way to express a political viewpoint. And actually, I still think it is. I don't see it the way some people are still saying it is. But again, I don't want any part of any violence. I've never been associated with violence. And so that's why I took it down.
By the way, you know, the idea, the term, because I love how people now are getting into the etymology of the word 86th, or the phrase. And people are like, it doesn't mean to kill anyone. Actually, it means to get rid of. Yes, it does. It means to get rid of. 80 miles out and 6 feet under. That's an actual phrase. It's a phrase from the Hoffa days, Jimmy Hoffa. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, he was 86th under the end zone at Giants Stadium. That's why I'm like, for James Comey to not understand that phrase, you're an idiot. That is so. I almost said something else, but
no,
I didn't.
He's playing. He's pretending to be an idiot.
Yeah,
he knows what he's doing.
I mean, I worked in. Hey, guess what? I worked in the restaurant industry. I was a server for years when I was in college, and 86 means to us is killed off the menu. But I love these people who are like, let's study the phrase. let's look at the etymology of this slang. 86th, and all of these people who were guerrilla experts under Harambe and rocket experts with Elon Musk and, also like film experts with the video of somebody trying to kill POTUS, all that. Yeah, now they're like, let's study the etymology of 86. No, it meant 80 miles out and 6 feet under. You had to dig your grave 80 miles out from town or wherever everybody was living and 6 feet under. That's where 86th comes from. That's that phrase. And it was actually used widely. I went back and I was, because I'm like, I know that that's been used. I mean, hell, they talked about it in The Irishman when it was a film about the guy who was supposedly 86th Hoffa. And that's a common phrase. It's used in a number of different industries. You cannot tell me that somebody is the top cop in the land and doesn't know what that phrase means. I don't buy that. And if you're that dumb, why are you in that position? Oh my gosh. But what's more, and I know I said this yesterday, not all dudes are like this. I think it's a rare thing. But every now and then you come across a dude who has like angry ex-girlfriend vibes. You know what I mean? Like bunny boiler vibes. How old is he? How old is James Comey? I said yesterday on Waters that I think he's old enough to be my dad. He might be. Oh, totally. Yeah, he could be.
64.
So he's that old. And you know that he arranged those shells like that himself. And he's just trying to line about it to give himself plausible deniability, which I think is, I mean, it's bad to share that sentiment. But how weird is it that a 64-year-old dude is doing that? I can confidently say I know of no man below the age of 64 or at or over that age that would do something like that, because that is so cringe. They would die immediately. It's instant death. It's that cringe. That's weird, right? Isn't that like obsessive? That is obsessive. Think about it. This is like his second book. He's got a new book coming out. It's his second book. That's obsessive. He is still, remember that when he was in the White House and they were all meeting with POTUS and he was hiding behind a curtain? Do you remember that? Kane, do you remember that? It was on video. He was like hiding behind a curtain. And he talked about it later that he felt very weird. He tried to blend in with the White House curtains. And he was the tallest guy in the room. Tallest guy in a room. And he was trying to like push himself all the way back into the curtains. And it was so obvious. It was so obvious. There are all of these like stills of the video, and when you look at it, he literally is standing all the way back, pressing against the curtain. He is a weirdo. He is a theatrical, overdramatic weirdo. I don't like drama in women. I definitely don't like it in men. And I definitely don't like it in men that hold positions like these where you need to have a calm and clear head. That's scary that he was in this role. Look, it makes sense to diversify your weapons array. I'm not going to tell you not to carry. I think you should carry a gun. And I think that you should not be afraid to use it in defense of yourself or a loved one. I try to avoid gun-free zone areas because they're dumb and it's unconstitutional. And these people don't do anything to protect you. They just want the virtue signaling of saying gun-free. But I also don't want to like make a political statement not carrying and then get turned into a statistic. So Byrna it's a self-defense weapon. It's shaped like a gun. Like you got the Byrna rifle, you got all these other kinds. But I think for the purpose of this, the Byrna SD and their new compact launcher, the Byrna CL, that's what you need to focus on. And they shoot chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away. It doesn't care about stupid gun-free zone signs. It doesn't care about any of that. There's no background checks. There's no waiting periods. You don't have to pay a tax stamp. There's none of it. It's sent right to your front door. And you are able to still have a means of protection when a private property wants to disarm you or a local or municipal restriction. And for college kids, too, that are too young to carry, but also live alone, this is a great idea for them as well. And it's super affordable. You can check it out. They have like different accessories and colors and all that. The Brona CL, it's like maybe just under 7 inches long, really thin. And it's, there's no recoil, easy target acquisition. And the SD, that's one of its best selling self-defense options. You can look at all of them at Byrna.com/Dana, BYRNA.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I had to get this one real quick. UFO crashed into a U.S. Air Force fighter jet over Arizona during a terrifying encounter. If we don't get smod, I will take this. The jet that cracked the canopy, the plane had to land. $63 million plane. They said it was an orange-white UAS, uncrewed aerial system. So it was a drone. So why are they saying it was a UFO? It's kind of dumb. No injuries. No, not sure how much damage the jet suffered, but it's on the ground for repairs, that's for sure. Physicists say that they were completely wrong with how gravity works. Oh, what? Yeah. They said they've come up with a new theory of everything. It's a theoretical proposal in the journal Reports on Progress in Physics. And they're claiming that the way that we understand quantum physics is just wrong, of course. So quantum mechanics, blah, 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 general relativity, theory of gravity. They're trying to say that they're actually not mathematically compatible. And so they're scrapping everything we know about gravity and starting over. Okay, well, it still works though, right? The gravity? Okay, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. A man is charged in his wife's murder in Spain, and then he was found dead in jail. I'm not as interested, but I am with this. The world's first mass-produced flying car goes on sale within months for $1 million. If you think that women drivers were bad now, just wait till we can fly these bad boys. I'm going to run you over in the air. Stick with us. We've got Ted Nugent next. When a mother is facing an unplanned pregnancy, she wants to make the right choice, but it's not easy when you have society telling her that she can't or shouldn't. This is where preborn steps in. Their whole ministry is about loving these women and empowering them to do to make the choice of life, to do the right thing, choose life. And when they hear their baby's heartbeat, that baby's chance at life doubles. These are studies that confirm this. And this is what preborn starts with. They offer ultrasound. And they're sponsoring 1,000 ultrasounds in the month of May. And you can visit preborn.com/Dana to donate or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. And one ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. And it costs $28. Five is $140. Every penny goes towards this. Preborn has a 4-star charity rating, so you can give with confidence. And all gifts are tax deductible. Simply dial #250 and say the keyword baby or visit preborn.com/Dana. That's preborn.com/Dana or dial #250. Say the keyword baby. They want 1,000 ultrasounds for the month of May. Everyone can help save a life.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
You have to wait for that to kick in right after those drums right there. Oh, it's so good. Welcome back. Dana Lash with you. We are at the bottom of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast. Channel 347 is the stream. Joining me right now, one of my favorite people on God's green earth. He doesn't need any introduction. He's a rock and roll icon. He is a legendary outdoorsman. He gave me the best advice when I first started using a bow. He gave me the best advice. Uncle Ted Nugent, who joins us now via that's his bunker. Look at his bunker. Good night. He's got his dog on his cup. He's got his guitars. I see a big old giant. I love the safe in the background. Good to see you, Uncle Ted. God bless you, my friend.
Dana Lash. There are man caves, and then there's the Ted Nugent man cave, cuckoo's nest, arsenal of democracy. And
yes, that what he is in, that bunker that he is in right now, is every man's dream. Every man's dream. He just froze on us. We're going to get him back. Of course, he froze on us right at the go part. We're going to get him back, and he's going to unleash, because there's a few things that are happening, and we got the Hearing Protection Act. We also have this potential rescission of the Gun Control Act. All right, we got Uncle Ted back right now. So I know, let me ask you this, because, you know, you're a lifelong outdoorsman, you know, hunting, you know, better than pretty much almost anybody. You also know like wildlife management. So it's not just like hunting and shooting, but you actually get like the land management, the hunting and land, all of that. And one of the cool things that I'm fingers crossed, I was hearing from lawmakers that they're still arguing this, that's in this bill that they're battling over, the Hearing Protection Act with suppressors. And I just wanted to ask you that about that real quick, because you're considered, like if you go overseas to hunt, my friends that go overseas to bird hunt, they're like, if you don't shoot suppressed, you're kind of looked at like the rudest person that's ever lived. But over here, they act like, oh my gosh, it's a magical thing that makes the gun totally, it doesn't work like that. What are your thoughts on this whole thing?
Well, I don't have any thoughts. I have some conclusions because I actually think. I'm a critical thinker, which is why you love me and I love you, because we are truth, logic, and common sense, critical yes. thinking, adherence, genuflecting at God's miraculous creation that is truth, logic, and common sense. And the truth, logic, and common sense, Dana, is why in God's name would I need another man's authorization or federal paperwork to make my gun quieter and safer? This is insanity. By law, I have to have a muffler on my tractor, but I've got to get a federal piece of paper to make my gun a little quieter and safer. It's not a silencer, it's a suppressor. It just reduces the decibels slightly under what my guitar has been for the last 72 years. But the bottom line is, you're absolutely correct. When I hunt over in Africa and over in Europe, even over in England and Scotland, which are basically still king's tyrant countries, you can get a suppressor at the hardware store. Now you got to go through all kinds of insanity to get a permission to actually keep and bear arms. But we have that here. So ultimately, what you represent every time you open that beautiful little mouth of yours is the truth, logic, and common sense that I don't need paperwork. There's not a man that can go, oh, by the way, Ted, we're going to give you constitutional carry. I was born with constitutional carry. Dana, you know, I know, anybody that actually thinks knows that all gun control laws, all of them, all of the regulations are infringements, and there's a document that says shall not be infringed. In fact, this morning I signed another thousand of these hats that say shall not be infringed. Would people please wake up and tell your elected employees to quit infringing, stop the engineered recidivism, keep rapists and carjackers and murderers and stabbers and train pushers, keep them in cages, and let we the people keep and bear arms without any infringements. Boy, that's radical.
I love it. I love the phrase elected employees. That is the best. I'm going to like committed that to memory. We're talking with Uncle Ted Nugent. Just like the best out there. The president talked about this. First off, when he came out and he was saying that he wanted to have national reciprocity, there wasn't another president that said it. And I hope he strong arms some of these losers that are in D.C. into making this happen. But he also touched upon the Gun Control Act and maybe possibly rescinding the Gun Control Act in 1968, which would be enormous. I mean, I think you need to get rid of all of it. I agree with you. I know this is something that you've talked quite a bit about. Do you think that Congress is actually going to let this happen? I feel like they're at odds with everything going on in the White House right now.
Well, first of all, you've identified the most important battle cry for true we the people freedom in America, and that is the great Commander-in-Chief Donald Trump. What a relief this is. I work every day, Dana, with heroes of the military, all the military branches. And for many years, they've been heartbroken and depressed because the Commander-in-Chief, Joe Biden, was the actual enemy of America, the enemy of the Constitution. The deep state was the enemy. These young men and women of the U.S. military would die for their sacred constitutional oath, while the deep staters were violating the very oath that these heroes died for. So the self-evident truth is that the 68 Gun Control Act, signed after the Kennedy assassinations and Dr. Martin Luther King, it not only didn't reduce violent crime or assassinations since the Gun Control Act of 1968 because of engineered recidivism.
Yes.
We're living in a failed court system of engineered recidivism. They knowingly let out repeat offenders to repeat offenders. Then they convict them, and then they let them out again, and they repeat offend. It's planet of the cuckoo's nest out there. So the 68 gun control was signed by Lyndon Baines Johnson. Who would trust anything that guy signed? It is counterproductive, just like everything the government does. It's counterproductive to their claim goals because they're liars. And I, as a free man, you as a free woman, your family, God bless Chris and your kids. God bless my family, my kids, my grandkids, my band, my crew. We get to keep and bear arms, and I would like to get rid of the infringement. So here's the bottom line. Call your elected employees. Call your senator and congressman. Tell your chief of police that you stand with Kyle Rittenhouse for clear and present self-defense. Call your state trooper commander. Call your sheriff. Call your senator, your congressman. Hammer your governor every day. Leave your name and number the time that you called and say, quit with the infringements. Every other state except Texas, I think there's a couple, South Dakota and Oklahoma have some pretty good reduced infringements, but it's our fault, Dana, for not raising enough hell. I raise more hell than anybody. That's why they call me a radical, and I take it as a badge of honor.
Yeah, you raise about as much hell as a mid-sized city. I mean, that's true. Like, you're like your own one-man army talking with our very dear friend, Uncle Ted Nugent, about all of this. I feel like we are closer with a lot of this stuff federally, with a lot, like, pulling back a lot of these gun laws than we ever have been. And I'm so terrified that if we don't act now, then we're going to miss an opportunity. Because I'm worried about what Democrats have planned in 28, and I think you are, too.
Well, once again, I could give you so many heartbreaking examples. I got a farmer buddy who's never even gotten a speeding ticket, but he's now a convicted felon by the EPA, another counterproductive, corrupt criminal bureaucracy, because he had a faulty muffler on a tractor on his farm. He's now a convicted felon, and he can't exercise his God-given rights. I have so many people that made a mistake way back when they were teenagers. Now they have great businesses. They employ hundreds of people, but they're a convicted felon for having a couple of joints, which was a dumb mistake. But my God, violent criminals in Chicago are caught on film shooting each other every day with illegal guns and fully automatic federally crime sears on their pistols, and they drop the gun charges for the gangbangers, but the guy with the bad muffler can't use a 30-30 to go deer hunting. Yep. I mean, these are unbelievable examples, and Dana, I could keep you here for 100 days. Yeah. I have a Real America Voice Spirit Campfire and our Spirit of the Wild TV show on the Pursuit Network. I try to expose these atrocities, and I think people woke up. We saw the evidence November 5th, 2024, but please, people, engage, raise hell. Go to HunterNation.org. HunterNation.org connects with conservationists, constitutionalists, conservatives, and we find out those that don't vote, and we inspire them to vote, because that's what's making the difference. We proved it in November, didn't we?
Absolutely. I got to ask you about that. I want to finish with this topic, because the news that's been out, so we had the HER audio with Biden's closed-door testimony. That came out, and that was real bad. But then that immediately got shoved to the side because this news about his cancer diagnosis. And, it's stage four. It's real bad, super aggressive. And look, I think you can have compassion all the live long day. But also, that doesn't mean you sacrifice accountability and questions. And Americans have every right to go, wait a minute. We saw clearly there was a cognitive struggle. Now we have this. Everybody, I had Dr. Drew on yesterday who was saying, no. The question is whether or not how much he was dealing with this when he ran, like before he even ran. This is such a crazy issue. Who do you think was in charge in the White House? Because honestly, you cannot persuade me that he was at any point during these last 4 years. I don't believe it.
Until we find out who was running the United States government during Joe Biden's 4 years, we're not real America. Not only was he dangerously mentally ill, but more mentally ill than Joe Biden and his inner circle. I mean, just outrageous. More mentally ill than Joe Biden and his inner circle were the people that covered up for him. Can you imagine being an official, an elected employee in the United States of America and waking up every day to intentionally bamboozle, lie, and deceive the American public that was at its peak violation during the Joe Biden 4 years? You know, again, I pray for mentally ill people. Even the president, now he's diagnosed with cancer. We're praying for Joe Biden, but that does not mitigate or reduce the disrespect that he earned for being such a dishonest, corrupt, tax-torching traitor. He's a traitor. If you open up the borders, that's treason. If you get money from our enemies in China, if that's not treason, I'm Caitlyn Jenner's boy toy. This is insanity beyond measure. These guys are so guilty of treason. Is that the ultimate analysis or what?
I love it. That one's gonna get cut for sure and be online. That one's good. No, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you on that. And I just, you know, it, the fact that we have the press now, like at USA Today was like, oh, was he ever in good health? They actually, Uncle Ted, they actually asked that now. USA Today is now, all the media now are asking, oh, was he ever in good health? Wow, it looks like there were some things that were bad. We were called conspiracy theorists for seeing this, you know, earlier. Last word from you on this.
The dishonesty level is finally being reversed. I call it the toxic, demonic toilet flush of Uncle Sam and the deep state. Thank God for Donald Trump. But more importantly, it was we the people, especially the fence sitters. And by the way, if you're sitting on the fence and you're a moderate, you don't stand for anything. And if you don't stand for anything, you're actually facilitating the evil side. Noncompliance and apathy isn't a neutral. It's supporting the evil side. And finally, enough Americans that thought they were not, you know, not participating in the sacred experiment self-government, they said, my God, men destroying women's sports that is facilitated by the party that claims they're all about women's rights. Yeah. Again, there's thousands of examples. And I'm going to leave saying this, Dana, how much we love you, because you have the most sexy middle finger. when you set it on fire with your truth, logic, and common sense, everywhere I go, people know that we're friends. They say, tell Dana, thank you. Tell Dana, we love her. You know, I have a Tyrannosaurus Rex Scrutum of Freedom Award, and I don't want to give it to you because you're just too beautiful. But it means you stand up for the self-evident truth that guides the greatest quality of life in the history of the world, the only experiment in self-government in the history of the world. Dana Lash, we love you. We pray for you because you're brave beyond words. And every time you speak, you represent the best families in the asset column of the American dream. God bless you, woman. Oh. Shemaine and I love you.
Well, thank you so much, Uncle Ted. And we love you and Shemaine and all your family as well. And congratulations, because I know you guys just celebrated a super happy event. And I wanted to say congratulations. And I'm so happy for you all. I love that for your family. But thank you. You've really blasted the way. You have to know that. You know how many people, you know, whether it was Gen X or millennials or Gen Z that, you know, watched you as and really took a lot of cues from you. So you planted a lot of seeds in a lot of people's minds. And I think that, you know, you really made that possible. So thank you, because you're an absolute American patriot. Uncle Ted Nugent, really our favorite person in all of rock and roll. God bless you, my friend. Please tell your beautiful bride hello. We will talk with you again soon. God bless. Appreciate your time.
We're going to have some backstraps over a campfire sometime, Dana. Godspeed, baby.
Yes, amen to that. Thank you, sir. God bless. We'll talk again. That's Uncle Ted Nugent. You can find him on X. You can find him anywhere. And meet him on tour, because he's going on tour. This man plays. I texted him the other day, and he was literally like on stage. He's an absolute machine and an icon, an American legend. Your home is your biggest asset. And I don't know why you wouldn't protect it. You protect your car. You know, you protect your money in your bank. Why would you not protect your home's title? In today's cyber world, with the dominance of AI and everything else, it has never been easier to steal somebody's home title. You might think, oh, this has never happened to me. I would know. That's what you think. That's what everybody else before you has thought. They all thought the same exact thing. And guess what? It happens. You know, you have a rando criminal that gets out there. They can forge your signature on a document, use a fake notary stamp, pay a little bitty fee with your county, and the next thing you know, your title has been transferred out of your name. These are real, actual stories. And you can track and see that this is an expanding crime. And it's really, really hard, especially after when you finally realize that it happened. It's very, very hard to make up for that. So you want to be preventative and not reactionary with this, because otherwise, if you're waiting to respond after you realize your title's been taken and you start getting these foreclosure notices and collection calls, the amount of money you're going to have to pay will probably bankrupt you just to get your property back. I mean, I'm talking hiring lawyers, going through litigation, the whole nine yards, because then the state's involved at this point and it is a mess. So please, for the love of all things holy, be proactive and lock up your title with HomeTitleLock.com. You can get a free title history report and a 14-day trial of their $1 million triple lock protection using promo code Dana at HomeTitleLock.com. It's a free 14-day trial, 24/7 monitoring of your title, urgent alerts to any changes, and should fraud happen, they'll spend up to $1 million to fix it. Visit HomeTitleLock.com now and use promo code Dana.
Could Luigi Mangione's killing of the UnitedHealthcare CEO lead to anarchy in America? Pastor Alan Jackson says yes.
But he shot this insurance executive, and I mean, there's this whole host of people trying to justify it.
Oh, absolutely.
Because their insurance got canceled. Therefore, it's okay to go assassinate some insurance worker. That is teetering on anarchy.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast, on your favorite podcast app.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This guy's mugshot, I'm pretty sure he doesn't have remorse. So this Florida man was arrested for driving drunk 118 miles per hour at 2:30 in the morning with kids in the car, just asleep in the back seat. The guy's name, Juan Espinoza, he was signaled to pull over. They look at his mug. He's like, yeah, I no remorse there. That's a drunk grin, by the way. That is a drunk grin. They suspected that he was drunk, and so they requested that he perform some sobriety test and give a breath sample, and he refused. So they took him to a detention center, and he totally tested. Yeah, he was inebriated. So he has DUI and child neglect without significant bodily harm. But there was a one-year-old and an eight-year-old asleep in the back seat, and he was going 118 miles per hour at 2:30 in the morning. They said recklessly, just like driving all over everywhere. Oh my, by the grace of God, this man did not hit anybody. Wow. That's just a Florida man broke a Del Taco window after he was denied tacos at closing time. I too get angry when I'm denied tacos. Florida man, he was arrested according to Charlotte County and the sheriff's office there. Anthony Izzo pulled into the drive-thru in Port Charlotte, about 30 miles away from Fort Myers. They said, they're closed. Our kitchen shut down. They put away the meat. The meat is put up. And he did not like that. They heard loud popping noises moments later. Somebody called 911, and it looked like he used a pipe wrench and hit the window four times, cracked it, and then drove away. They found him at his home, police said, where he was arrested for criminal mischief. He had charged cost $2,000 worth of damage to that drive-thru window. It's not their fault. They put away the meat. You know, people close. They got signs. You know, you should have checked your Google Maps before you drove up to the Del Taco. They're not, you know, and they're open late anyway. Like, good night. What time did you go there? Del Tacos are always open late. Stick with us. Third hour on the way. Our partners that bring you the program, our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And if you want to be mindful of how you spend your dollars and not fund DEI and gun control and the whole nine yards, you need to make the switch today. This is nationwide coverage that you can trust, and they operate on all three major networks. So you're getting the best coverage anywhere, and you're staying connected wherever you go. And when you switch, it's not just about better coverage. It's also about supporting the causes that are important to you. Every dollar that you spend, you know, helps to fund the defense and advocacy for those positions, making sure that your First and Second Amendments are protected and needs of our veterans, etc., while also enjoying unbeatable nationwide coverage at a lower price. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team that will take care of getting you set up. You can keep your number and your phone or upgrade and get a free month of service with promo code Dana. So make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT, and get a free month of service using promo code Dana. Switch today only at PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Free month of service with promo code Dana.
Certainly not an amplified one. And I just want to point out that he brought up issues. He brought up that residents are being removed off America's streets and being deported without due process of law. That's happening. He brought up that we're abandoning our longtime allies around the globe.
What?
And signing on with dictators. That is also happening.
What? That is also not happening. Wait, let me do my name's Eddie Vedder, and I'm just going to sing like I have mashed potatoes in my mouth. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. Top of this third hour. He's wasn't he defending Bruce Springsteen?
Yes.
What is up with these guys that are just so, not everybody can be Uncle Ted, I guess, you know? No. Anyway, so Eddie Vedder was saying that people are just getting snatched up. They coming in your streets, they snatching your people up. They taking your wives, your husbands, your kids. That one viral video. Welcome back, Dana Lash with you. They're not, though. I mean, you know, the people that they were taking were here illegally, and then they were continuing to commit crimes. Why are they so hard up for these gangbangers?
Great question.
I don't get this. Like, all of these, they're ignoring this whole part of that story. Like, you know, the gangbanger that was all beating up his wife. Like, I would just think that you would want that guy to go. The guy who was not born here, who never lived here, and who literally was running humans. He was a trafficker. That's, you know, and he was in MS-13. Is probably still. So what is this? Like, it's just stupid. You're going to go and go to bat for this guy? Well, they're just taking, oh, now they're concerned about due process. They weren't concerned about due process when they were supporting efforts to overturn a free and fair election in 2016. They didn't support due process when they were backing gun control and red flag laws, which are absolutely an obliteration of due process. Their support of due process is entirely situational. Furthermore, this guy got due process. He was in court 3 times. This guy got more due process than an American citizen fighting red flag laws, which are unconstitutional. This guy got his due process. He was in court not once. He was in court not twice. He was in court 3 times. And he had all these different judges come to the same conclusion. He got his due process. So stop it. Oh, they're just snatching people without due. These guys don't even know what due process is. My gosh, I'm so tired. If you're going to talk about politics, fine. But, like, do it in an educated manner. It's so tiring. Welcome back. So they've been having a fight with the hearing with Marco Rubio, as I understand it, King?
Yeah.
Do you have some fire audio, sir?
We do, actually.
So he got into an argument, Marco Rubio, with Chris Van Hollen. Now,
it wasn't quite an argument, but it did create a little heat.
Now, I'll tell you, I think that this is a good role for Marco Rubio. Yeah. I don't like him as president, and I had issues after Parkland with the gun control stuff because we were right there. But this is the role that he is really good in this role. Let's, if we have this, go ahead and play it. This was a pretty contentious little soundbite. Watch.
In the case of El Salvador, absolutely. Absolutely. We deported gang members. Gang members, including the one you had a margarita with. And that guy is a human trafficker, and that guy is a gangbanger, and the evidence is going to be clear. In the days to come, you're going to see who you went to
defend. Senator, I'm sorry, please, Mr. Chairman. Secretary Rubio has the floor.
Mr. Chairman, he can't make unsubstantiated
Senator,
comments like that.
Secretary Rubio has the floor. You
Secretary
had your
Rubio
time.
Rubio should take that testimony to the federal Senator, court of the United States because he hasn't done it under oath.
Here's another point, okay? There is a division in our government between the federal branch and the judicial branch. No judge in the judicial branch cannot tell me or the president how to conduct foreign policy.
Yeah, Chris Van Hollen. He was a little embarrassed. Yeah, you went and you had literally tequila with a gang-banging wife beater. But yeah, go ahead and lecture everybody else about all of this. Go ahead. Now, there's some really good sound bites. At one point, Van Hollen told Marco Rubio that he regretted confirming him, voting to confirm him as Secretary of State. And Rubio goes, well, that means I've done a good job. Chris Van Hollen is just, what a little sniveling snit. I don't even know how to put it. Yeah, he's like, I regret. Well, then he's doing a good job. You margarita drinking, gang banging, wife beating lover. Come on. What in the world? Like, this isn't a hearing. This is them trying to have their 5 minutes hate. And it didn't seem like Rubio was having it. Very interesting. So, I don't know. The whole thing, we'll continue following it, but that was it was some good pushback from him. And that they need to be reminded of this. Like, this, you want to have a discussion about due process. Again, what about the due process for the people that were being trafficked by this Kilmar Abrego Garcia? The people being trafficked. Notice how Democrats haven't talked about those people's due process at all. But hey, hey, there you go. So a few other things. The bill, I think Democrats are super excited that everybody is fighting over the budget bill, which we're going to talk about coming up. There's some developments with Chip Roy because they can get the Biden thing off the table now. So I was thinking about this. I really do believe that her audio coming out was bad, obviously. And I think that the Bidens wanted to distract from that by creating this sentiment of pity. They wanted to manufacture a narrative where they are once again the victims. And I think that's why they released this information and announced his diagnosis. Because you can't criticize him or ask him questions about accountability, because look, he's dealing with this. You're so evil if you do. And I have seen that being used as a deflection all day yesterday, all this morning. It has been used as a deflection all day, all yesterday. You saw it too, Kane. Like, you can't say, you can't criticize or ask questions because it's disrespectful. What? That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. And this has been going on nonstop now. And the media, I wrote this piece that's out on Substack. If you are a subscriber, you will have seen that. How long will the press cover for Biden? Because I was curious as to how long or if the press was going to take the bait on any of this. And whether or not they were going to allow him to dodge any kind of accountability or questions. Because the fact that, I mean, first you could see the cognitive issues. I think there's so many questions about the auto pin. We played James Comer's audio coming into that with our first hour. They were throwing his doctor under the bus. Listen to this. So this was from Daily Mail. This was yesterday. This was yesterday, about an hour after we were off air. Doctor who missed Biden's cancer was like a son to Jill and handpicked by the president. And there are a lot of headlines like this now where they're going after, oh, they missed it. They missed it. You didn't miss it. They undergo so many tests while they didn't miss it. And with it being so developed, there's no way they missed this. They kept it. It was kept. They hid it from everyone. And I think that they were going to continue hiding it from people and just let Biden go ahead and get reelected, which, by the way, can you imagine if that had happened? Just think, you would be looking at a President Kamala, because everyone from most of the physicians out there are saying maybe a couple of years, if that. So he wouldn't have survived his term. And Hakeem Jeffries told the press that it was entirely inappropriate to ask questions and that Republicans are peddling conspiracy theories by doing this. No one's peddling a conspiracy theory. This is where we have every right to ask questions. I mean, if he had stayed at the top of the ticket, we would literally be looking at a President Harris, because there's no way Biden would survive until 28. And here's the other thing. Frank Biden told the press yesterday that Joe's declining health played a, quote, considerable role in his decision to drop out of the race. They all knew. But they came clean now because these reporters are all falling all over themselves to release cha-ching books on Biden's obvious cognitive decline and how it rendered him ineffective in the White House. And they're only releasing this now to try to court sympathy as a distraction from the scandal. They are demanding the grace that they denied the family of that truck driver. We talked about this yesterday, right?
I think so.
The Curtis Dunn?
Yeah.
In case you guys didn't know, real quick, Joe Biden's first wife, Nelia, and their 13-month-old daughter, Naomi, were in a vehicle. She reportedly ran a stop sign and ran right into a semi that was driven by a guy named Curtis Dunn. And the police on the scene, they ascertained that it was not his fault. Curtis Dunn was not charged because he didn't do anything wrong. He was driving a truck. He was at work. He was doing his job. And for 40 years, Joe Biden suggested that the guy was a drunk. He actually said it. He said that Curtis Dunn, quote, drank his lunch, and that basically was why his wife and daughter were killed, like because he was a drunk driver. I think the family, honestly, they didn't pursue it, but I really do think that the Dunn family had a case of slander with us, slander and libel. And she had reportedly ran that stop sign. The truck driver, he couldn't avoid the crash. And so, yeah, he said he drank his lunch, blamed him for causing the crash, which was entirely unsupported by both the police reports and later the responders to the scene publicly responded to it as well. And they were saying that it was not Curtis Dunn's fault. And that because the family, this was in 1972, just like a week before Christmas, the family was just trying to get Joe Biden to stop smearing them. And they said it was a tragic accident, but no, there was no alcohol involved. And the judge who investigated the crash, Judge Jerome Herlihy, said that there was absolutely no indication that the truck driver had been drinking. And that's a direct quote from a CBS piece at the time. And the It wasn't until last fall, after Dunn had passed away, that Biden only then said through a spokesperson that he fully accepts the Dunn family's word that those rumors were false. The rumors that Joe Biden started. What a coward. Oh, this, the senator fully, the senator at the time, oh, he fully accepts that the Dunn's family were that the rumors were false. There were rumors that he started. That's just so shameful. But he went out and was attacking and smearing this family for forever. Now, the family had asked for an apology and a retraction, and they never got it. You know, the daughter was like, please stop. Please stop. I mean, they've been doing this for years. They've been trying to get him to stop this for years. Back in 2008, when he was a vice presidential candidate, they were saying, please stop smearing it. So Dunn passed away in 1999, but the family was fed up with Biden constantly lying about him as being drunk when the accident occurred. And the police dispute that. The police reports, the judge, everybody investigating the accident, they all disputed it. And they did, and police confirmed that his wife, his late wife, was the one who ran into him. She just drove right into the tractor trailer. He overturned his rig trying to avoid hitting her. Curtis Dunn overturned his rig, and then he jumped out and ran to the wrecked car, and he was the first person to render assistance. And there was in 2001, Biden told everybody that he lost his wife because of a drunk driver. He said it again in 07. He said it again in 08. He said it again in 09. He said it again in an interview with Katie Couric. And it wasn't until Inside Edition, this was 2008, that they reached out to the Dunn family for an interview, that they realized that Biden was out actually going out there lying about the family on the campaign trail everywhere the entire time. And yeah, they said, this is what Biden said, quote, a tractor trailer guy who allegedly, but I never pursued it, drank his lunch instead of eating his lunch, broadsided my family and killed my wife and killed my daughter and hospitalized my sons. That was his direct quote. Curtis Dunn wasn't driving, and Joe Biden's wife was the one that police confirmed apparently didn't obey traffic laws and ran into him. And now they're asking you for grace. They don't even have the grace right now to apologize to the family. Ridiculous. So that's who this is. GoldCo is making it easy to take that first step toward protecting your savings. Just fill out a quick form, no commitment, just free information. And then they'll ship you your free 2025 gold and silver kit straight to your door. No shipping fees, no strings, just a free info kit to help you understand how gold and silver can fit into your financial plan. I'm a big believer in doing your research, and this kit is a great place to start. So I'm really excited to be partnering with GoldCo because not only do they support my show, which I truly appreciate, but they've made the whole process of buying precious metals super straightforward. Because if you're a fan of the show, GoldCo is also going to tell you how to qualify for unlimited free bonus silver on eligible orders. If you qualify, you can even get a free half-ounce silver Ronald Reagan coin, totally free. Don't wait. Take that first step towards protecting and diversifying your savings with GoldCo. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a 75-year-old man was arrested after they found nearly $1 million of cocaine hidden in his vehicle's seats, which goes right into Kane's theory that old people are not innocent, man. Del Rio, Texas, they seized more than almost $1,930,000 of just in cocaine at the Del Rio point of entry in the guy's seats. He was driving his Chevy Captiva. They did a secondary inspection, and that's when they found it. And I just don't know how he thought he could just drive that on through. You know, how do you think that's in the seats of all things? I mean, they're going to find it. A lawsuit filed in Missoula over toxic metals found in aerial fire retardant that Forest Service employees are suing because of the long association with the wildland firefighting. That's the stuff that they spray when they fly over to help stop the fire. It's like bright red. You see it dumped from these like big giant air tankers. It contains all these chemicals, chromium, cadmium, all this stuff. And they said that it is toxic, and so they're I mean, I didn't think it was like, you know, Gatorade that they were dropping. You know, I mean, it was, you know, something. Let's see. New Jersey firefighters rescue baby turkeys trapped in the storm drain. They're going to taste delicious on Thanksgiving. Let's see. They found, no, I'm kidding. Let them have a little happy turkey lives before they become, you know, a little happy turkey lives before they become meals. And we haven't seen any human bird flu cases in months. Maybe because it was all hyped up. We've got Chip Roy joining us next. We got some developments in this budget battle.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this third hour here, and we've been covering quite a lot, including this battle over this, they call it the Big Beautiful Bill. I say it's a turd sandwich. You know, it is what it is. There's some bad stuff in here. We've been talking about it. What's the latest? Joining us right now, one of our favorite people in Congress, and we can say that about maybe three, Congressman Chip Roy from the great Republic of Texas, in front of his awesome artwork, as always. This is our favorite background for him. So, Congressman, it's so good to see you. I know that y'all are really rhetorically speaking under the gun here with all this. The way that I understand it, we're funding the Green New Scam. We don't really have tax cuts. It's all a shell game. We got some of these moderates that are fighting to keep us subsidizing the blue states because they choose to tax their people higher and they want us to offset those deductions federally. I mean, what am I missing? Give me at least one good thing, one thing I can be happy about in this.
Yeah, no, let's dissect this a little bit. And great to be on the show as always. There are a decent number of very good things in the bill. Let's be clear. Okay. We've got half of the Green New Scam, I think, legitimately after the concessions. After the concessions we got this weekend, we do believe we will squeeze out most future projects and really stop a lot of the ones in process. The problem is existing online infrastructure just continues to get subsidized. I disagree with that. So that's a big problem. But there's a lot of good things. I mean, constraining that other stuff is good. That's still like $500 billion, $600 billion worth of constraint. Then we've got some pretty good stuff with respect to restricting Medicaid and putting work requirements in place. After our work this weekend, we've tightened that down. We believe they'll be much sooner. We believe they'll be much tighter. And we're still working through nailing that down. There are other things, eligibility on Medicaid. There's some significant reductions. And it was all been working with the White House in good faith to deliver that. And I think that's good. There are good tax cuts in place. The expensing and extension of other things on marginal rates that will affect a lot of your listeners. But there's also a lot of giveaways, a lot of the expanded child tax credits. There's a lot of things in there that aren't particularly high economic growth issues. Medicaid expansion, we're not dealing with that properly. We're not dealing with the fraud of the 90%, the 7x payment for the able-bodied over the vulnerable. And we're not doing enough to offset states like Texas who didn't expand and try to keep the pressure off their expansion. So this is the rub. We're trying to manage through it. We want to deliver a product. But frankly, it just needs to be better, in my opinion, in order to get it done. So we're still working today. We'll see what happens in the next 24 hours.
Yeah, I know that you all were trying to get this done by Memorial Day. Is that still on track to happen?
Well, I think you still have several pockets of the Republican conference who remain concerned.
Right.
I think you've got those of us who want to keep tightening down to make it better and to try to get more savings, legitimate savings, and reduce deficits. Again, in this bill. Under the most favorable analysis possible, about $1.5 trillion of additional deficits in the first four years than all the savings are in the out years. It is, in fact, deficit reducing over 10 years, but they're all in the out years, the savings. I always think that's a problem. I think it should be flatter.
Yeah.
So we've got issues with it. We think we ought to do more. The SALT guys, the guys from New York predominantly who want to see the cap lifted on their state and local taxes so they can deduct their high tax jurisdiction states. And by the way, we should look in the mirror, Texas. Our property taxes are too damn high. And so, you know, I've got Texans who are like, are you sure you don't want to lift that cap? And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. Go talk to the legislature in Austin. We need to cut taxes. But my New York friends who want to lift that cap, they're still mad about the bill and they feel like they need changes. So it is unclear what will happen in the next 24 hours. I want Medicaid reform fixes. I want to save our country with healthcare freedom. I want to stop the Inflation Reduction Act subsidies that are killing our grid from being stable. And I want to make sure that we get deficits that aren't all backloaded, or, you know, deficit reductions that aren't backloaded.
Right. Is we're, for those joining, we're talking with Congressman Chip Roy out of Texas. Is the way that I understood it, Social Security in an earlier draft was still being taxed. And I was told that, oh, well, there are deductions, which is not the same thing as not taxing Social Security. I mean, like a $400 deduction, come on. But is what is the latest? Is that still in this latest version that you all are fighting over?
Yeah, the provision of no tax on Social Security is not in the bill. It is solely a deduction tweak, as you point out. I think the reason for that is that if that were to be implemented, it would cost something in the order of $1 to $1.5 trillion over 10 years if you just stopped having tax on Social Security. We could do that, but we'd have to do a lot of other adjustments. For example, reform Medicaid, do the other things that you want to do to try to get savings. But you'd also have to touch some other aspects of Social Security, which we can't really do in a reconciliation package. So because by law, we're not allowed to touch the corpus, the structure of Social Security. So there's a lot of things we could do, but that one's not in there.
So let me clarify for the people watching, because I hear this all the time from people in the audience. You really, there is a legal framework that prevents you from doing what you really want to do in terms of eliminating those taxes on that, on Social Security specifically?
So I don't want to speak 100% to what we could or couldn't do with that tax, because I personally haven't taken up the parliamentarian, but I will tell you in general, we are prohibited under the Budget Control Act, which is what controls the reconciliation process, from touching Social Security. You can still do it on the margins, but I would defer to the experts on what you can or can't do here. But what I'll tell you is the bill does not include that.
Okay.
And that is both because it's really expensive and because it is mechanically hard to do. That's the one thing they did in the Budget Control Act. It was a compromise, right?
Right.
Where for them to say, you're not touching Social Security in this deal.
Okay.
So look, there are other things on the tax front, right? There's the, for example, there's the expanded child tax credit that goes up over the first 4 or 5 years of the bill. There's the no tax on tips. That's for the first 4 or 5 years of the bill. Then there's the no tax on auto loans. That's the first 4 or 5 years of the bill. And there's several others that then create a cliff, meaning we have tax cuts that expire in 5 years, and then they'll be asked to extend an additional 5 years, you know, when we get out then, when they expire. What does that really mean? That the true cost of the policies in the bill is actually bigger, right? But if you do them on a shorter basis, you save money by keeping them on a shorter timeline.
Right. From what I was reading also, the SALT caucus, they're saying they're not going to support this bill at all. They're not going to vote for it specifically on those deductions that you mentioned. Are they just digging in? Is that just one? Is that a fight that's going to get lost?
Well, that's what they say, and I'll let them answer that. I'm not going to speak for them.
Right.
I met with a few of them, friends of mine, you know, that on different issues. We're happy to work together. And they've got their views on this. And look, I mean, I respect it. I mean, they got to come in and fight for what they want to fight for. But I just want people to respect that I think I need to fight for Texas,
right,
and ensure that because we're a non-expansion state, that we're able to hold the line, continuing to be a non-expansion state without getting screwed by having all of these massive subsidies going to other states because they expanded and we didn't. I think that's a problem. And I think we ought to be doing something about that.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I feel like a lot of people, you know, we got listeners in some of these blue states, and I get it. They want to have that incorporated in this bill, but it's like, you all need to, we've been doing the right thing as best as we can in these states where we've held our legislatures accountable. I mean, maybe not so much in Austin, but in these other states where we've been able to control this and not expand some of these other provisions or these other programs, we don't need to subsidize that. But you guys need to do the same thing with your legislatures. One other quick question on one of the things that's included. Are we still funding Planned Parenthood to the tune of $500 million in this bill? Because I know that was a fight earlier.
So there are specific provisions in the bill that restrict funding to Planned Parenthood that are good. They are wins, and credit to those who fought for them. The way you back into the fact that we think funding gets Planned Parenthood, there are multiple paths, one of which is, for example, all of the Medicaid dollars that flow via the money laundering scam, effectively by California in particular. They put all that money in their general coffers, and then they're able to use it for their purposes and to provide Planned Parenthood services through Medicaid dollars. So there are still federal dollars that end up flowing because of the largesse of the federal government to Planned Parenthood. But credit to the, you know, Speaker and others, they did put prohibitions on dollars flowing to Planned Parenthood, so fewer dollars would flow. I mean, look, This is the conundrum for someone like me. There are tax cuts that will be extended that should be. There are spending cuts that would be in this bill that would be much better. There are reductions to the Inflation Reduction Act subsidies, which would be much better for stopping the wind and solar and garbage going to China. There are other provisions like Planned Parenthood. But on the other hand, we're not addressing the Medicaid scam. We're not fully cutting off the Inflation Reduction Act. We're not getting, I think, as many tax cuts that are pro-growth as I would prefer. And we're not getting as much spending restraint that's legit that I think we should, because it's all backloaded. And frankly, we should do more. So you tell me, I'm undecided, trying to work through this while we try to get the reforms we need over the next 24 hours.
And we got the Green New Deal, which I know you mentioned as well. Not all of it. I think it was, what, $1.2 trillion total, but it's anywhere between $700 and $900 billion that's still funding that still might wind up in this bill.
It's roughly, I mean, I would put it this way. There's about a trillion-ish dollars that we score in the Green New Scam as we have it. It could be more, but it's in terms of how we score it. It's about a trillion. We think we stop about $550 billion of the future subsidies in the bill and leave about $450 billion still going. That's a little bit kind of put your finger in the air, but based on our observations, that should be about right. I don't think that's good enough. I mean, I wanted to get that more to 80 or 90% removed. I get there are some projects that are well underway. I get that there are certain political calculations in corn states, but I think we should get that way, way more narrowed. And we're going to continue to subsidize people, including people in Texas who took the easy road to go take free subsidies. So they look, Dana, I want to blow your mind. $3 billion a year flows from federal borrowings into the pockets of corporations in Texas for ongoing wind and solar that are connected to the grid. They just get your borrowed money and tax dollars get given to those companies in Texas for the wind and solar electricity they're putting on our grid. That, by the way, makes it impossible to go put natural gas and nuclear fired plants online because you're disadvantaged because these guys are subsidies. So their electricity is cheaper. It's crazy.
That sounds like Solyndra. Except right, they're probably a little working a little bit more, you know, profitable, but it sounds a lot like Solyndra. Oh, my. We're talking with Congressman Chip Roy. And I know this is like the battle because we hear, oh, well, if we don't get this bill passed, taxes are going to go up. It's going to be rough either way, because I know that people are terrified of austerity. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago. We went through the whole thing with Greece. And when Greece had to implement austerity reforms and what happened and what the EU was asking, I'm like, we're like on the edge of a cliff here. What if this doesn't pass the negative? Because I know that regardless, the GOP is going to get skewered in the press. But what is the reality if it fails?
I mean, look, I don't believe in putting so much stock in what we do or don't do. The debt ceiling will get dealt with. It'll either get raised or we could prioritize our payments. We're going to make our payments to our debt. I think there's a lot of panic button politics that cause a lot of the problems in this town, and we're dealing with that right now. We're going to Rules Committee at 1 a.m. Why? So they can jam this through tomorrow if they can. I don't agree with that process. And so, look, what do I think would happen? I think we would get back to the table and keep working and figure out what we would do. Maybe you'd move a smaller bill to do the debt ceiling and to deal with the border and the defense. But look, right now we're still working on the big, beautiful bill. We want to support the president. There's a lot of good things in it. There's a lot of things in it that fall short. We'll see what happens. I'm not one that panics, though, if Congress doesn't act a certain day. Usually when Congress acts, you should be more afraid than happy.
That's true.
And that's regardless of who's in charge. So we're trying to make things better. There's a lot of teamwork going on that is good, even amongst the varying ideologies in the conference. But look, I didn't come here to rubber stamp the same broken damn system that I came here to fix. So I'm trying to decide how much the change we're getting is worth it. There is some legitimate change. And some people say, Chip, just don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. I mean, I get that argument. But the flip side is, if I'm rubber stamping the continued socialization of healthcare, if I'm rubber stamping the sort of 50% subsidy of the crap that I didn't think should have existed in the first place, if I'm rubber stamping more deficit spending in the next 4 or 5 years in the hopes that either tariffs or out year savings will balance the budget, I don't think I'm doing my job, so I got to weigh all that.
I have one last quick question for you. I have under 60 seconds left here. What's the one thing that, if included, would convince you to vote for it?
I mean, I think either or both the cutting down on the continued subsidies in the Inflation Reduction Act, which I feel strongly about, or something with respect to the FMAP and or provider taxes to constrain what's happening with the Medicaid scam. Those are the two things that are my biggest hangups. I think if you add those in it, I can swallow some things I don't like, but we would have made some transformative changes. I think we've made some good changes. I don't like the transformative yet, and I think we need transformative.
That's key. Congressman Chipperway, we appreciate your time. And I know you all are burning the midnight oil over there, getting all this done. Thank you so much for being a fiscal hawk on this and holding the line. God bless you. We'll be praying for you. No, it's not fun.
Thanks,
good to see you.
God bless you and Chris and your whole family.
Of course. Take care. You as well. Thank you.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. I'm going to have a thing up here shortly. Got a lot I got to get out. Substack, just following the latest with a bill. I may put it up in the notes section of Substack. If you're a subscriber, you're going to know what that means, because there's probably going to be a lot of, you know, additions, and it's kind of easier, I think, to follow along there instead of in a post that will go out as your newsletter. But kind of follow this stuff. But we'll also have clips of what Congressman Chipperway said, because that's all incredibly important, especially as it pertains to the Social Security. I mean, the deduction, that's a shell game, and you're still getting taxed on that. That's a promise that's not delivered. And the tax relief, in my estimation, is not that great. I don't think it's that great. Any tax relief is great, believe me, because what I pay in tax, you guys would have a stroke and die over. Believe me, I do. And then I have to be resuscitated. So, you know, we get it. I think the point about property taxes too, I'm not demanding that other people offset what I pay with deductions here. So why the hell should we have to do that for people who choose to live in New York? You know, I mean, no offense. And I know that they're fighting with their legislature about it as well, but come on. All right. Today in Stupidity came.
You had mentioned a shell game, and I was going to play.
Oh my gosh.
James
Comey's. We talk about shells.
Shells.
Oh my gosh.
Instead, we'll do Rep McIver, who's on video, of course, assaulting law enforcement officers.
Is that all?
This is her. Let's see if she's got any regrets. Let's hear. Let's listen to this. Cut 21.
Would you have done anything differently? No, I would not have.
Okay.
Once again, we showed up
all
there.
All right, so she's all for the assaulting of law enforcement. And the left is going to make you believe that it's Trump targeting his political opponents. It's just so stupid. It's almost funny.
I mean, I was told that was an insurrection.
Yeah.
Those were the words that were used.
Yeah.
And I believe that that's an insurrection, right? You all agree with me.
Yeah.
I'm saying. All right, folks, find us at YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe, Substack, Chapter and Verse. You can go and sign up over there as well. I will be back with you tomorrow.